Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Searches for his living soul, searches places that he don't wanna go, looks for love and for hope. He finds a world that's abandoned them both. Yeah. All the lies tell us just who to be. Can't set you free. What we need is that love, the love that comforts from heaven above. Hi, I'm Kathleen McCarthy, and you're listening to What the World Needs Now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. I invite you to join me in this hour of God's healing power. Call and join us in conversation and prayer. Remember, what the world needs now is God, and God is love. Well, welcome once again to What the World Needs Now. You are listening to Kathleen McCarthy, and I am blessed, as always, to be able to be behind this microphone. It's an honor and a privilege day by day. Even after these 3 years, I am amazed at the humbling feeling it gives me. I'm so humbled to know that the trust and love of the people for this radio ministry has continued for so many years. And of course, it cannot happen without you. You are the very core that enables this Catholic radio ministry to go on. So from the bottom of my heart, I thank you. And I know that Jesus thanks you. For what you do to the least of his brothers, you do unto him. And we know that this message gets out. We are a voice for those that have no voice. We are a voice for life. We are a loud and clear voice on church teaching, according to our magisterium of our one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. And today we have a wonderful guest with us. It is our Tuesday day. One day, hopefully, we will be able to, if you're listening, anybody would like to buy time, and we'd like to take another whole day and give it to pro-life rather than, you know, once a month on Tuesday. So we're looking to accomplish this, and it can only be done by you who will want to get that message out and have the ability to get things going where we can take this another step, not only to have this done on the Pro-Life Union on once a month on Tuesday, but, you know, continually. So with that, I want to praise and thank God. We have our beautiful Adele Finnegan on the line. Let me get her on. Hey, Adele.
Kathleen, how you doing?
Good, pretty face. How are you?
Good, good.
It was good to see you the other night.
It was great. It was a great night.
It was a great night indeed. And, of course, we are talking about the fundraiser that the Women's Center and the Kingsmen joined together in. And wasn't that done so elegantly and beautifully?
It really was. And everyone that was involved, including your son-in-law and your daughter, was just fabulous, you know?
Yeah. Bless my heart. And to see the people that knew they were there to raise money for for pro-life. They were there to raise money to fight the evil of in the world today through the Kingsmen. And I can only tell you, it blessed my heart to look out and see from the first one they had last year to this year how it had grown doubly in 1 year of the support. And looking around, just seeing people that were there solely to fundraise, to continue the message of those ministries. And my heart was blessed just watching it.
Yeah, I couldn't get over how they doubled, more than doubled,
more
I think,
than doubled.
Their attendance
yep.
last year.
Yep.
So that was great.
Yep.
It just shows you they're both relatively new organizations.
Yeah.
And just to see how the word spreads about the good that's being done.
That's
so.
Right. That's right, Adele. So tell me, my dear, what is happening on the pro-life? First, let me introduce you properly. I have on the phone here, she couldn't get in today, Adele Finnegan. She's the executive director of the Pro-Life Union of Southeastern Pennsylvania. And she's just a wonderful young woman in the Lord and a beautiful instrument in the hands of God. So,
you're nice to say that.
So I welcome you, Adele.
Well, I'm happy to be here.
And what's happening?
Well, I will tell you, we have a bunch of things going on. So I'm going to just run through some of the events coming up just for anyone to, you know, come and attend. First of all, this weekend we have the St. Patrick's Day parade on Sunday.
Right.
So the Pro-Life Union has a contingent in the parade.
Okay. They usually do.
Yes, and so there will be one group of us that are standing sort of on the sidelines giving out and distributing pro-life information to the onlookers and to the, you know, attendees of the parade.
Right.
And we're going to meet at 18th and JFK if you would like to do that at about 10:45 or 11, so right like at Logan Circle in front of the cathedral. And so that's one part of the parade. It's like 11 to 2, you know, come for a half hour, come for an hour, you know, however long you can, just to come and get involved. And it's fun because you can watch the parade and give out information. And I have to say we had a great experience last year giving out information. People were just lovely. This is not in the parade because in the parade you're not meant to be giving out information. It's just those of us on the sides, we just kind of give out information to the passerbys.
Right.
And then so that's really exciting. And then also, if you would like to march in the contingent, which is kind of fun for people with families and children, and you just meet at 16th and JFK. And probably around, we're supposed to start marching at 11 a.m. sharp, so you should really be there 15 minutes before. And there'll be the pro-life banner and things like that. So that's this weekend. And then there's something else this weekend, but I will talk about that at the end because it'll lead to more bigger things.
Right.
On the 25th of March, so that is the Feast of the Annunciation.
Right.
That Thursday, we're having a rally in Center City from 11 a.m. until noon, and then from noon until 1, we will be lobbying and speaking with our city council members and city government because they're really responsible. I mean, well, they're complicit in the abortions done, which are over 15,000 a year done in our city because they allow these clinics to be open. They allow hospitals to perform abortions. And so we're going to have like a big group of people down there, a lot of young people, and to particularly address the slaughter of African-American children through abortion. So that is on the 25th, and that'll be, like I said, from 11 till noon we'll have a rally. So anyone who works downtown who can, you know, come for a bit, that would be great. You know, if you can get out of work for a little bit and just come over and support us, or anyone who schools or anything like that would like to bring a group of kids with them, a lot of the some of the parishes are doing that. They're bringing, you know, a van load or a busload of kids to come down. So it's sort of like the idea kind of behind the March for Life, but just adding, we're celebrating the Feast of the Annunciation.
Right.
So that's on the 25th. And then I presume that almost everybody has heard about the abortion facility in West Philadelphia that was closed.
Yep.
about 2 weeks ago. So the person's name, I hesitate to call him a doctor, was Kermit Gosnell, and his killing center was closed down by the state medical board because two women had been killed through an abortion, and obviously countless children had been killed there. And so what they're doing is we're trying to raise awareness because he's had his license revoked before and gotten it back. So we want to keep the pressure up on the DA's office and on the city government and just the medical board to not renew this man's license. So it's, you know, one less abortionist in the city of Philadelphia, which would be great. Every second Saturday, we always hold our vigil there. You know, we have vigils throughout the city.
Right.
So this will be at 9 a.m. at the Penn Newman Chapel, right near St. Agatha and James in the city. There'll be 9 a.m. Mass, and then we process over to the 38th and Lancaster, so it's the Women's Medical Society Clinic. That's what it was formerly known as. It is currently closed, but we will be there to say the rosary and praise and thanksgiving that it was shut down
and
that no babies can be killed there, no women can be hurt, and then also just to, again, keep the pressure up so that is not his license isn't renewed or opened again. And there's just so many questions. You know, everything about this case showed what the abortion industry really is. And if I could just point out a few things.
Sure.
The Philadelphia Inquirer has been following the story. One of the things that they have noted is that he was famous for doing second trimester abortions but didn't really report them.
Wow.
And sort of the Inquirer and some of the mainstream media, I guess, are trying to imply that very few abortions are done in the second trimester, when in actuality there are quite a few done in our area in the second trimester. And we want to highlight that, the age of these children and the damage that's done to the mothers. And then also that, you know, there could be laws being broken, you know, especially with the Abortion Control Act.
Right.
And secondly, about this doctor, this physician, which I wouldn't, again, I hesitate to call him a physician or a doctor, was that he was very similar. I mean, really what is happening there is similar to what's happening at every other abortion facility. And I said that to one of the reporters. I said, in our opinion, certainly he does this with, you know, in a little less clean manner, we think, although every other abortion facility could be that way. We don't know.
Right.
They're not inspected. But he, you know, he keeps the unborn children in jars. Like, that's one of the things that everyone was offended by. And they kept saying fetuses in jars. And I remember saying to quite a few people, why is that so offensive?
Amen.
You know, what is it that you think abortion was doing? Are you more comfortable with the baby being dismembered and just not seeing it? Because that's really what's happening in abortion. Women
exactly.
are hurt and children are killed. And so just everything about this case, and someone from the abortion industry wrote into the Philadelphia Inquirer saying they were aware of how bad this guy was. They had complaints from women. This is this group called Choice, and they refer women for abortions. And what's amazing about it is they say, well, they tried to bring attention to him, but never once did they publicly witness at his killing center where they knew women were being hurt and try to get him to stop.
Hmm.
You know, really, they were under the obligation to do that. If you really care about women's health, when you find out that there's an abortionist in a city that is maiming women and hurting them to the degree that this man was, that they didn't publicly witness and there wasn't an outcry from the abortion industry, shows their selfish nature.
Amen.
That they really are an industry and that they're not really concerned about the lives of women. I mean, I truly believe that some of the people involved think that they are.
Right.
But they're willing to sort of sacrifice women's lives and obviously the lives of unborn children for this idea of choice and freedom. And that's not what abortion is. So those are the comments I wanted to make about that.
Yeah.
So that's one of the big things. So if anyone is around on Saturday, even if you can't make it to Mass, if you can make it over to 38th and Lancaster, you know, it's literally right down Route 30.
Right.
So even people on the main line in Delaware County, it's really not that hard to get down there and just to come. You know, we're going to try to have a press conference and, again, keep the pressure up that this place stays closed and his license is not renewed.
Go ahead.
The second thing about that is I pointed out to one of the reporters that there's another abortionist in Philadelphia who performs abortions at Planned Parenthood in the city and then in Westchester and also in Allentown. And he is famous. He has a history. He has a malpractice record. He has, you know, 16 counts, I think, of lack of quality care against him. And he's supposed to work, you know, under supervision. But he's still performing abortions in Philadelphia. And no one's checking into him and what he's doing.
Unbelievable.
And so hopefully this case will at least highlight that part of the abortion industry.
Right.
And, you know, it's funny because I've talked to probably two or three women in the last week since this has happened. And I've brought this case up because it's concrete evidence of what pro-life people are always saying, that abortion really does not just emotionally hurt women, but it can very easily physically hurt women,
right,
especially when it's an unregulated industry. I mean, no one's going in and checking out these clinics. It's not the same as a hospital where if something goes wrong with a hospital, there's an investigation. That's not what's happening to women.
That's right.
They're in and out like cattle. And so hopefully some of the women have, you know, taken that to heart and reconsidered their decision. So those are the big things that are on at the forefront. We have a busy month ahead of us.
Yes, indeed. You know, one thing I wanted to ask you, Adele, if you can also, I don't always bring my mail into the office here, but if you could email me the agenda of those things, times, and places.
Sure.
Okay, and that way if somebody calls here and says, you know, we heard you and Adele on the radio and we'd like to be present at something, the staff can look right at it and give them all the information necessary. I can keep it right in by the phone in there.
I will do that, and I will also just let people know again, our website is www.prolifeunion.org. And under the events and happenings sort of content thing on the left-hand side, you can click on there.
Right.
And there's a flyer for St. Patrick's Day, and there's information about the 25th. And also there should be information about, by tonight, there'll be information about the second Saturday vigil.
Okay.
So, but yes, I will email you the information.
Also, one thing, maybe you don't have it off the top of your head right now, but what are some of the ways, now, our listeners today, I know, will take action. As you know, this is extremely pro-life radio ministry. And what I need is, what can the people do? How can they make their voices heard? Who do they contact? So this quote-unquote doctor will not have his license renewed. Do you know who?
You know, we haven't specifically, I would say the district attorney's office, Seth Williams in the city, would be, you could call there. And all of this information, I don't have it readily available right now, but this would be available in the internet, and then the state medical board.
Right.
Okay. And we will be filing, we're not exactly sure what's going to happen with this case.
Right.
And I think there will be another hearing.
Okay.
In the next few weeks, which will also, we'll keep information out about that to people.
Okay.
But I think the medical board would be, you know, and actually the other thing I would say to everyone is, if you live in the city of Philadelphia, or even if you don't, the city council members, their information is all on, I think, Phila.gov.
Phila.gov, yeah.
And you can find all our city council members, all our city government. They should all be contacted.
Very good.
You know, keep this place closed.
Yes. Well,
so that would be an important thing.
Very
good. And then obviously the next big thing that really is on the horizon, it's supposed to happen on the 18th, is there's supposed to be a vote on the health care bill.
Exactly. That's what I have up.
And I did read something before I left work about that there's talk of a compromise on the abortion language with Bart Stupak.
Yes, that's what I heard.
And I can only stress this enough, please, for everyone to pray that he stays strong, because I would not trust anything that this president or the Speaker of the House or the Senate would do in regards to abortion language.
I agree.
You know, just to not, we need to just scrap the whole bill.
Right. I agree wholeheartedly.
You know, there's so much in their funding for Planned Parenthood, just like a usurpation of our individual and family rights. you know, just even the abortion information aside, right. It's just so important that, but Stupak right now, Bart Stupak is really the person that is kind of stopping this from happening.
Right, but he seems to be, I don't want to say wavering, but I heard him make a statement, and this was just the other yesterday, I believe. He made a statement that he could see that there that vote may go through on the Senate health care bill. However, that's why we do need to keep the pressure on.
And I would just, if I could explain this briefly, Bart Stupak is not against the health care bill except for the abortion part of it.
That's right.
So he is okay with so-called health care reform, and that is problematic for Catholics. I would just encourage them to really read about this and try to understand it, that, you know, there's health care reform in, you know, changing some of the problems that we may have with the insurance industry, or, you know, we might want to tighten some regulations or things like that. And but there is no, the whole bill, the way that it's being packaged and sold to Americans right now, it is a violation of the principle of subsidiarity, which is that the lowest form of government, the smallest form, the closest form of government should be governing the local community. You don't want a federal bureaucracy controlling a person or a family's or a community's health care. And it's violating the idea of solidarity. Mm. So these are, you know, it's against really Catholic social teaching, although some people, you know, view this differently than the Pro-Life Union is, right, is saying it. But I think if you really look at, you know, obviously a 2,700-page bill is going to be fraught with problems.
Exactly.
When the people that created it have an anti-life, anti-family agenda. So the bill is filled with those things. So we are, we differ from Bart Stupak on that particular issue, in that he's okay with the reform if he could just get the right language, yes, for abortion. And while I commend him and any other person who wants to make sure there's no public funding for abortion, I think what we need to do is, I think God could be using him as a vehicle to stop this whole thing.
I agree.
Because of his conviction on the pro-life issue. And so that's why I say to just keep him in prayer, and also just that he won't be hoodwinked into believing that this is a good thing, that he'll start to maybe see why there are so many problems in it.
Right.
So that would be a big thing for everyone, just to be on the horizon. And again, I mean, call whoever you can call to say you do not want this.
Right. Also, on that same thing, I know the Democrat one of them in particular has sort of contradicted Pelosi on her comments in regards to the abortion funding.
Yeah.
Where she made the statement that this is not a serious issue, and it is. It is a serious issue, with Democrats as well as Republicans that claim to be pro-life, and we should support them, you know, in prayer. I don't see them crumbling. I don't see them falling under pressure. But this administration, as we know, goes behind closed doors.
Yes.
And God only knows how they can be intimidating people. So I would ask everybody, for the Democrats that are standing for life, and for the Republicans that are standing for life, please support them in prayer and make those phone calls. Let them know that you're there supporting them. Don't give up. I just think it's so important. This bill is not passed yet, my brothers and sisters. Don't give up on it.
Yeah, and that is truly the grace of God that
absolutely
this has not happened. And honestly, because there's been such a fight about this, it shows truly that while we our country is very two-sided, you know.
Right.
We have these people that really want to move us into this idea of socialism, and people are there's a lot of Americans that are accepting of that, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And then, but it's also made those of us who recognize the dangers of socialism really stand up in a fight in a way that we haven't before.
Amen.
You know, really recognize what's at stake. You know, there's a quote that you can't be a Catholic, a true Catholic, and a true socialist.
Right.
They're contradictory.
That's right.
I don't think everyone understands that, because I don't think they understand the evils of socialism. They think socialism, like, oh, you know, the government's going to pay for everything. Well, that's it. It's an impossibility.
Right.
And it takes away your own individuality, and the government shouldn't pay for anything. And just when you show when even the church gets involved with taking money from the federal government.
Yep, they're stifled right off the bat.
There's just so many problems with that.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? And that's been happening, and now we're facing these decisions because our Catholic hospitals are tied to federal money. You know, should we give out contraceptive services? Should we be marrying so-called homosexual partners?
Right.
And the church has had to take these stands, and I really do think this is a very, you know, the Blessed Mother is really out there trying, you know, is trying to help us, and I think she wants us to get involved because I think there's a lot at stake, and I'm not sure that everybody believes that, and I'm not sure that everybody comprehends what
exactly
is at stake.
I agree.
And they don't comprehend that we all have very nice lives in this country, the vast majority of us. We have our sufferings and we have our crosses, but we have the freedom to worship, the freedom to live our lives. Our children can go to Catholic schools. There's so many blessings. And that can very easily be taken away.
Right.
You know, or restricted to the point where it's going to be really a problem. And I think because of this healthcare fight and so many good people getting out there and fighting and so many people waking up to sort of the agenda of the socialists who are running our government... that we've been fighting it, and that's a good thing. And just by fighting this health care bill, we've been able to stop so much other stuff from happening.
That's right.
So God is good, you know, the way that he helps us. And no matter what happens, you want to go down with a fight.
Absolutely. I was going to say, you don't want to be a bystander.
No, not in times like these.
Right. And I really do think, more than ever I've seen before in so many, many years, I really do see that grassroots effort, standing up, having solidarity between, you know, Catholics and Protestants and Jews and other denominations that are committed to the truth that life is sacred from the womb to natural death and to the tomb. And I do see that more than I've ever seen it before. And I think it's, you know, for one of many different reasons, of course. But just as much as I see that, I see Planned Parenthood, you know, getting all riled up against because they know the people are speaking out. They're being well informed. They can articulately send a message what abortion really is. And Planned Parenthood, believe me, they're doing everything they can, hoping to promote their Senate health care bill, if you will, that funds abortions. And that could make, I mean, there could be millions more that would be pointed in the direction of abortion mills. And they're looking for women to tell their stories in such a way that, this was just a medical reason, but if it wasn't for that. And so we have to be aware of that. And we have to be just as vocal. We have to be able to stand solidly and united together to fund all our pro-life unions, our Respect Life committees, so forth and so on, to be able to make the stand that we need to. We need to fight and fight hard.
Mm-hmm. We really do. And, you know, when you see, I just think that it was funny because President Obama was here at Arcata University yesterday touting his health care plan.
Yeah.
And it was amazing to see, you know, there was by late last week, people knew that this was going to happen. The time was a little sketchy. So the Tea Party people got involved and then pro-lifers got involved. And so emails went out. And then by, you know, 9 a.m., there was a couple hundred people standing there with signs on a Monday morning protesting. For 2 hours and standing in saying we're not for this health care plan.
Right.
And, you know, the media showed a room full of people who were for it. But outside of those doors, outside of that very scripted media event, there are a lot of Americans that do not want to pay for abortions.
That brings
even people who consider themselves to be pro-choice.
Right.
Are not necessarily comfortable paying for abortion. And I think the thing about that is their conscience saying, I don't want to pay for this. I don't really know how to stop it. And then any person, any one of us that has that conversation with somebody, you say, why wouldn't you want to pay for it if you believe abortion is a good thing? And the person will admit that they believe abortion is a bad thing.
Right.
And then they will sort of slowly but surely, through the grace of God, maybe come to the side that they should be on.
Right.
Which is how more and more Americans have become pro-life.
Absolutely. And again, that Senate bill really uses, in that Senate bill as is, it uses federal funds to sort of subsidize health plans that cover abortions. And maybe rather subtly, maybe it's, like you said, to insert, but it's just not out there in the open. But there is absolutely so much in this bill that people are not aware of, even mm-hmm. to the fact there's a part in that Senate bill, not the House, but in the Senate bill, that says they can actually force Americans to pay, as you were saying, for other people's abortions, even if they are morally opposed. Look
sure.
at the freedom that this government thinks it has. We are the people, and mm-hmm. we have to stand up and say no. Unequivocally, no, we will not tolerate this. And yeah. that's why we need to support those men that are trying to stand firm to be sure. But no money is used under any circumstances in any way to federally fund abortion. And the only way they can do that is to scrap this whole bill and start yeah. over again.
Yes. And I really do think calling Bart Stupak, obviously, and really praying for him
yeah.
is such an important thing. If everyone could just, like, be willing to do that, it would be so good, you know, because I think he's a really good man. And, I mean, I think that, you know, maybe he's not 100% with us on everything, but he's been really good about this.
Yes, he has.
And he's been so defending, you know, the pro-life language. And we really need him to keep doing that because he's the reason and our support of that. You know, people calling him and supporting him, that's
right.
going to be a good thing.
Right. That's what I liked about the House bill, actually. I think all of us, I don't think if you talk to one American, I mean this from the bottom of my heart, that they don't realize that the health care situation has to be dealt with and that, you know, people deserve good health care. Mm-hmm. However, that's not what this bill is about. And there's many underlying facts, so they really do need to scrap this. And it's only the American people when they know. I don't even know if they're going to pay attention to all the issues, but if we can get that language in there, if they don't scrap it, to under no circumstances at all, no compromising, no monies will be used, no federal money will be used to fund abortion. If that's not in there, no body in good conscience can rightfully vote for that bill without fighting hard against it and calling their congressmen, their senators, and letting them know that
yeah.
their constituents especially.
Yeah. And the other thing about that I think what's happening now is that the White House and Nancy Pelosi, they're really pressuring
yeah.
these pro-life leaders, and they're sort of trying to convince them, well, you know, we'll fix it later, we'll fix
yeah.
it later, or, you know, we'll put this in there. And the truth is that really isn't going to happen, you know, so we really just have to scrap the whole thing, like you said.
Right.
You know, and start all over with something that's, you know, really addressing what some of the root causes are of, like, the increases in insurance. That can be really hard for small business people and things
right.
like that. But in this country, everybody does have insurance. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, one way or another.
You will be treated for a
yes.
medical condition.
Yeah.
The problem is the cost can be so high. But, you know, some of the poor in this country are recipients of
some
social
of
services.
That's right.
They are treated. It's really the business owners and younger people and things like that where there are some the troubles. But, you know, one of the things is, like, we're going to... Insurance companies can't discriminate against people with pre-existing conditions. Well, obviously, someone who's born with a heart defect should be given insurance.
Right.
They have a right to medical care. But that's different than saying that if someone applies for insurance after they know they break their arm.
Right.
Which is sort of what this bill is going to end up doing.
Yeah.
Because, again, it's bureaucracy.
Exactly.
You know, it's not addressing the real problem.
Right. I couldn't have said it better.
Yes.
We're going to take a little break, Adele. Would you be open for some calls?
Sure, that'd be great.
Okay, we'll be right back. Don't go away. Let me give the numbers. We have Adele Finnegan on the line, and she is from the Pro-Life Union. She is the executive director. She's always a delight to have on the program. This is her day, which means this is your day to get your answers to pro-life questions. So give us a call, 610-527-2906. Or 1-888-343-2484. Let's hear your voice today. Give a call. God bless. I have Adele Finnegan on the line. We are just going to open up the phone lines if you have a question. Adele is the executive director of the Pro-Life Union of Southeastern Pennsylvania. And we've been talking about a lot of different things today, some upcoming events, which you can find out about by going to their website. And once again, it's prolifeunion.org. And go to the left side and be able to look into the events and get the times and places. And during the week, we will also have a copy of that. So if you're not able to do that at the moment, give a call to the office. We can inform you. Our phone number is 610-527-2906, or you can call outside the area completely toll-free anywhere else in the United States, 1-888-343-2484. Maybe somebody's on wants to have has a question for Adele that's listening online. Remember, you can always go to our website, www.inhissign.com. Click on Listen to Live Radio. It goes out globally. Give us a call. It's toll-free, 1-888-343-2484, 610-527-2906. Adele, while we're waiting for that phone to ring, and Adele, there's I wanted to ask you a question. You hear a lot about these Democratic blue dogs.
Right.
And they really are, they've been flexing their muscles, especially, under Obama, because I think really they're fed up. And they are trying to make a statement. And once again, we have to remember these guys, they're against the, there were 19, I don't know how many there are really standing firm today, but there were about 19 Dems, mm-hmm. Blue Dogs, who stand against abortion funding, and they were standing pretty firm. And,
right.
I want to commend them. That's what this ought to be about, regardless of whether you're a Democrat, whether you're a Republican, whether you're an independent, a libertarian, whatever you are, come together and stand for truth united. And I do want to hand it to them, those blue dogs, the 19 of them. Some of them are still standing firm. And, I want to commend them for that also, because it isn't about red or blue. It really is about truth.
Yes, it is.
And is there a message that you'd like to, speak to our own people about today who are listening from many, many walks of life, young people, older people, men, females? I like to always go over once again ways that they can get involved. Perhaps they can't come down to the city. Perhaps they can't even, be able to give out some of the brochures and material down at the St. Paddy's Day Parade. But even someone that is homebound for one of many different reasons, they can make those phone calls. They can get in touch with their pro-life union, respect life committees at their parishes. Why don't you tell the people some of the ways that, even though they think, I wouldn't be able to do this, what are some of the ways that we can certainly help and allow our own voices to be joined to have that solidarity to stand for life?
Well, I would say one thing is definitely getting involved with your parish pro-life group, mm-hmm. you know, they always need help. Mother's Day is just around the corner, and we'll be doing, like, you know, there's always things going on at parishes on Mother's Day.
Right.
And the people that are involved, you know, they give up their whole Sunday morning to, you know, sell roses or distribute information, and it would be great if they had more helpers, you know, that they didn't have to cover every mass. So that's one thing. And then just, you know, getting involved and coming to the meetings, you know, like we have a meeting in the Northeast at St. Dominic's Parish on Monday night. And then there's a meeting in South Philly in March. And, you know, Chester County, they have their meetings like the first Saturday of the month. There's a vigil outside of Westchester, and then there's a meeting over at St. Agnes.
Right.
And Bucks County, there's different meetings going on. Right. And, I mean, obviously, I think for anyone who's really homebound and they're like, you know, I can't get out, the praying and fasting and
exactly.
making phone calls or just writing is such a good thing to your local representatives. You know, wherever you live, it's pretty easy to find that information out. You can always call our office, and we'll look it up for you if you don't have access to the Internet. And, you know, just we have a program that's called Letters for Life.
Great.
And so we send out a little mailing every month to people and say, could you write this letter to so-and-so and encourage them to, you know, vote no on this bill or to keep the abortion clinic in West Philadelphia closed or things like that. So that's one thing for people who are really homebound. For everyone else, I feel like it's really important for me to kind of say, you know, there are vigils, there's 40 days of life, there's different events, and most of the time, most of us, you know, people can, they can spare time for soccer games, for, you know, sports for their kids, and all those things are really important in your family life, but it is really important to be active. There has to be some sort of activity, I think, in the pro-life movement.
Right, right.
And I would just really encourage people to do that. You know, try to get to a vigil or a prayer thing. And even if you only go for 10 minutes, like in media, the Planned Parenthood in media, at noon to 1 every Saturday, there's about 30 people outside of this Planned Parenthood facility. And they don't do abortions at this facility. They refer for them, and I think they do the morning after pill.
Mm-hmm.
But it's such a great witness that there's people there. Every Saturday, it's noon to 1. You don't have to get up really early. Media is pretty accessible. It's a nice neighborhood. And just go and, you know, say the rosary with fellow like-minded people.
Mm.
You know, and you don't have to give out information. You can just be part of it.
Right.
And those of you who, you know, live in the city, come down to one of the vigils in the city. And, again, these are all listed. For other people, there's, you know, for a lot of people getting involved in crisis pregnancy work, you know, the Bucks County Women's Center, which, you know, they were part of the group with the King's Men that night. I mean, just to have more volunteers to help Jessica so she's not the person having to do all of it, you know.
Right.
And she needs hotline volunteers, so sometimes people just answer the phone so she can take a break on certain nights. You know, and if you feel like maybe you could talk to a woman, and, you know, sometimes they just need a referral to where's the local doctor. It's not, you know, that, it's not like, you know, huge stuff. And sometimes, obviously, it is a woman who's considering abortion. And you know, people always say, oh, well, what do I say in that situation? Well, you say what you believe.
Right.
Which is that her baby deserves a chance at life, that she deserves better than abortion, and that we can find a way to help her, and that God has a plan that doesn't include killing her child.
Amen. Well, I can't tell you. I'm blessed that Edel comes in every second Tuesday. We'd like to have more time to buy more radio time to have her on every once a week, every week. So that's our goal. However, you have her here with you now. We could take maybe one phone call before we go off the air. 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. 1-888-343-2484. You know, you know, whether it's a pro-life dinners that you're attending, whether it's one of the facilities that, you know, we've stood in front of or so forth.
Mm-hmm.
We are hearing success stories.
And, oh, definitely.
And maybe we could close for with one of those. I know Jessica was talking about that at the dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you know of a story that you'd like to show people that their stand makes a difference.
I will tell you about this lovely girl that I have been working with for the last, 6 months or so. She called our pregnancy hotline in October, I guess, or September, and she was calling and saying that she wanted an abortion and she needed help to pay for it. She had been raped, and the circumstances surrounding the conception were obviously less than ideal, and she was in a relationship with somebody and sort of didn't know if it was his baby or, but she was pretty sure it wasn't his baby. So she was pretty devastated. We talked for a few minutes, and I asked her just to, you know, wait before she made a decision so I could mail her some information. And she let me mail her the information, and I happened to include a picture of the abortionist from the Planned Parenthood in Philadelphia because we had one at the office. It's not the nicest picture. And she had had an abortion before and remembered this guy. And so between that and the prayers, and she's a very, I think, faith-filled person.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't want to have the abortion, but she's really overwhelmed. She's a nursing aide, and so she knew that when she was pregnant, she might lose her job because, you know, people say, well, you can't get fired when you're pregnant. Well, that's true, but stuff can happen. You can still lose
your
job, you know. And she did have an 8-year-old. So God bless her. A few days later, she called and she said, you know what, I couldn't have the abortion. I just couldn't do it. And she said, I had to, you know, I decided to keep the baby. And she's like, you know, can you help me? And so we've been able to help her with a rental payment, which is really what one of the things she needed, because what happened was she just called me last on the Feast of St. Catherine Drexel to tell me that she delivered her son. He was 6 pounds, 6 ounces. And she was so sweet when she called. She said, I am praying that my son will be a saint someday. She's not even Catholic, which I thought was so funny. And then she said, you know, I had to call and thank my guardian angels, the Pro-Life Union, for being there to help her.
Oh, my goodness.
In her time. It was so sweet. And actually, I just spoke to her this morning because we're sending this rental payment because she hasn't been working since she had the baby and stuff. So we're just sending a check to her real estate company, which is, she's been great. And they're really lovely. And we don't do this for all of our clients, but it's, she's in a situation where we're able to help her and we feel like she's really trying. And so it's so amazing because when I talked to her today, she said, Idel, I just feel like so many things have gone wrong. And she said, so many things are like, I'm struggling in my life just with her family and things like that. But she said, the difference between now and before is that I have God in my life.
Wow.
And she said, I give it all to him, even though that's hard to do sometimes.
And look at that. I mean,
isn't that amazing? And I think, oh my gosh, what this beautiful girl. And she almost killed her baby.
Imagine.
And I thought, dear God, she would be a wreck right now if she had done it.
That's right.
A wreck, and her relationship with God would be so wounded, and he would forgive her, but I don't think she would have ever forgiven
herself. That's right.
Ever.
Yet, that's
I think it would have just been, and I think, oh my gosh, God is so amazing.
Well, that is.
And she's such an amazing girl, and so you can, I hesitate to give her name in the
beginning. Right, of course.
But please, you know, keep her in prayer because she can use the prayers. Anyone who's out there listening, if you're involved, if you're thinking, oh, I'd like to do something, well, I'm giving you something to do
there
today.
You go.
Pray for her. Pray that things work out with her job and just with her children.
Right.
And she really is. She's a really special girl, and I'm so grateful that we have, you know, she's so edifying to me. I'm so blessed to have met her.
And that's the good news. You know, if your facility wasn't there, if you God didn't bring you into her life, like you said, she might have made that choice because...
Yeah, and I always think, you know, you always think, oh, these women are changed by us.
Right.
You know, by our work. But truly,
we're changed by them. I say it all the time.
Because you see God's grace. And actually, it's a little bit scary in some ways.
Right.
Because what you see, and not scary, but it's a little bit, you know, it's very easy for everyone to say, well, they didn't know what they were doing. But God gives women the grace to carry their babies to term. And they give us, he gives us the strength to get out there and help them so they can do that. And so we're all called to get involved in some way.
Amen.
You know?
Absolutely.
So, and when you do, and you don't always get stories like this, believe you me. Most of my clients, this is not the story of their lives.
Right.
But you know, hers was, I thought, you know, for everything that Margaret Sanger and Planned Parenthood, everything that they want, everything they're trying to do, they have all the money in the world, they can't stop love.
That's right.
You know, they really can't stop the love of a mother and a child.
Right.
And so, I mean, that's amazing to me.
Well, I am in total agreement with you. It's been a blessing to have you on, Edel.
Thank you. Well, I'm happy to be on, obviously.
You're always a gift to the ministry. So continue your good work. God bless
you. Well, coming up for the St. Patrick's Day.
All right. God bless.
All right. Take care.
Bye
God bless.
Now.
Bye.
My brothers and sisters, we are, I want to make one last announcement. Mark Forrest concert, Friday, March 12th, that's this Friday, at St. Coleman's Church in Ardmore, 7:30 p.m. You want to begin to celebrate Ireland and St. Patrick's Day, or just come out for a great night of exceptional concert by Mark Forrest. Many of my family members will be there at 7:30 p.m., $10 at the door to benefit Regina Angelorum Academy. And once again, I praise and thank God for the gift of each of you. And I want to praise and thank you for your support, for your help, for your prayers. I really felt a word on my heart all week since Friday, since we were praying for the day of healing. And that is the word forgiveness. You know, each one of us have our own fire, fire of suffering that we're all immersed in at different times in our lives. And it's easy for us to become embittered, easy for us to continue to point the finger and blame someone for what we are suffering. However, the Lord calls us to forgive as He has forgiven us. He commands us, actually, to forgive 70 times 7. And when we fail to forgive, we are, you know, fulfilling that prayer that, Father, forgive them. And when we don't forgive, we are hell-bound. We're hell-bound by the anger and the resentment and the bitterness, all the fears and anxieties, the depression. You know, we do that to ourselves when we don't forgive. So if you want to feel the peace of Christ, if you want to feel free from all those self-hatred and all the different things that stifle the Spirit of the living God at work in our lives, my brothers and sisters, then forgive. Forgive, because when we don't, we are held bound just as much. Forgive whatever grievance you have against one another. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. And when we say the Our Father, we know the prayer well. Do we really forgive as God has forgiven us? Because we're going to be forgiven in as much as we forgive others. Today's the day to hear that call, the call of the Lord Jesus Christ, telling you that He loves you. He will deliver you from all of your troubles, sorrow, and from the furnace of suffering that you're in right now. But He wants you to forgive so that you can turn the key to let you out of the prison that you have been suffering in. My brothers and sisters, let us love one another. Let us forgive one another. That doesn't mean sweep things under the rug. That means that as we forgive as God has forgiven us, it means we commend them into God's heart. And He will alone, He is the one alone who judges, who knows all. And I really believe that you and I are called to forgive that way, to forgive as He has forgiven us. So may the Lord Jesus Christ stir up in your hearts the desire to go to the Sacrament of Reconciliation. How blessed we are as Catholics that we can go to the Sacrament of Reconciliation to confess. And not that the priest forgives our sins, but he says, I absolve you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Go in peace. That's Jesus forgiving you. It's Jesus washing you clean. It's Jesus delivering you. Persona Christi. in the person of Christ, the priest, gives absolution. Go to the sacrament and forgive as we've been forgiven. God bless you. You're never, ever alone.